Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide episode 107, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. Welcome back to our regular listeners. And if you're new to the Tech Guide podcast, it's great to have you on board. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This week, Kogan has revealed a new affordable 4G Android smartphone. Apple has kicked off the OS X Yosemite beta program, and we reveal why your mobile phone could be a health hazard. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the LG G Watch running Android Wear software from Google. We're going to look at the Golf Buddy PT4 Golf GPS device and the HTC Desire 816 smartphone. And we're going to wrap it up, as we always do, with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A packed show, so let's get cracking. Well, we're going to kick off with a story about the new Kogan Agora 4G Android smartphone. Now, this was just announced this week. Kogan, a well-known, of course, online retailer, brings products direct from the factory to the customer and thereby can offer tremendous savings. Now, the Kogan Agora 4G Android smartphone is no exception. This is a device that's priced at just $229. And for your money, you get a 5-inch screen, a 1.2 gigahertz quad-core processor. It's also running Android's latest 4.4.2 KitKat operating system. And it's also compatible with not only the current 4G networks, but also future 4G networks, especially on the 700 megahertz spectrum that Optus and Telstra are currently trialing. Battery is 2500 milliamp hours and has also got 8 gigabytes of internal memory, and that can be expanded with a micro SD card slot. On the camera side, it can take 8 megapixel images using the rear camera, and also has got a 1.3 megapixel front facing selfie camera, I like to call that. And it's 8.5 millimeters thick. Now, what does this mean for the marketplace? Now, I think this is ideal for the user who doesn't want to lock into a 2-year contract, who doesn't want to buy a $900 or $1,000 smartphone from the likes of Apple, Samsung. Those companies are offering phones that are more than $600 more expensive than the Agora 4G. A lot of people say, well, we're going to pay the phone off over 2 years, so the difference in price is going to be spread out over 24 months. That is true, but if you want to be locked into a 24-month contract, then that's the price you pay for that commitment. For those people who want maybe a prepaid plan or possibly even a SIM-only plan, there's plenty of those about. This is the sort of device that could suit your needs. Now, we haven't reviewed the device. We've requested one. We are going to put it through its paces right here on the Tech Guide podcast, as well as on the Tech Guide website. But you'd expect that you know, you're going to pay $229 for a device, you know, a Kogan device. And look, I think if you're under the illusion that it's going to be as good as an iPhone or as good as a Galaxy S5, then you're going to be disappointed. I think anyone buying this phone should have reasonable expectations. They are paying $229. It offers great value. The quality, we can't really comment on because we haven't done our review yet. But I think for the, someone who just needs a phone, wants a big screen, wants something that they can run apps. It's running Android, of course, so this may be the device for them. Interestingly, it was produced in collaboration with BenQ, a company that used to produce TVs and other products. Their product lineup is not quite as wide, but they did also have an association with Siemens back in the day, a phone company. So they've collaborated with Kogan to be able to bring this into the Australian market at a really cheap price. You want to check out my story? It's at techguide.com.au, and you can see that low price as well as some photos of the device. It doesn't look too bad. At techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
All right, well, Apple has kicked off the OS X Yosemite Beta program. This is a program that allows users to download the current version of the software. Now, it is not complete. It's a beta program, as I said. But it is the first time Apple has actually offered to the public a pre-release version of their operating system. Normally, that's reserved for developers, as people who are registered in the developer program. But what they've thrown open this opportunity for your everyday users to test out the software and, of course, give their feedback, report bugs. So they're spreading it out far and wide. This is something not normally Microsoft has done with past versions of Windows. Good to see Apple doing the same thing. I think they're obviously they want the customers to experience it early, but also want them to help them spot any bugs. And the more eyes on it, the better it is. Now, it is going to be released for free later this year. That they did introduce last year's OS X Mavericks update for free. That was the first one, I think, that was for free. I think from memory, Mountain Lion was a paid for program. I might be wrong, but Mavericks was definitely free. OS X Yosemite is definitely going to be free as well. But it is an opportunity if you do want to jump in and test out Yosemite on your Mac. I've already got it installed on my iMac. I've also got it installed on my MacBook Pro, and I have to say I'm very, very happy with it so far. There have been a few design changes. It does look a lot more, especially the fonts and look of the operating system looks a lot like iOS, which is currently at version 7 on the iPhone and iPad. So that's iOS 7. We're going to see iOS 8 later this year. Apart from the look and feel, though, there is enhanced notification center, a better spotlight operation. So not only can you find stuff on your Mac, but you can also go out on the internet if you're looking for a particular subject. Mail has had a bit of an overhaul. Safari browser has also been changed. This isn't a full review. Obviously, we won't be able to review the full product until it is released officially. There are a few features that won't work, namely the handoff features, which allows you to pick up tasks from one Apple device. Say you've started an email on your iPad, it'll then be seen on your Mac and you can complete it on your Mac and vice versa. We won't be seeing that because they require iOS 8, and that won't be out until a couple of months' time. So the other feature, of course, that requires iOS 8 is the ability to answer your phone on your Mac. So if you've got an iPhone, you'll be able to answer your device, your phone. You get a phone call, you can answer the call on your computer. That too will not be part of the beta program because it requires iOS 8. I'm sure they're doing plenty of internal testing. Developers are no doubt testing that. Developers that have already got iOS 8 as well as OS X Yosemite. If you're a Mac user and you want to jump in and check out the OS X Yosemite beta, you can do that. I've actually placed the link on my story on Tech Guide that'll take you through to the page where you sign up. Once you've done that, you'll receive an email to say that you've been accepted, and there'll be a redeem code that you download through the App Store. So OS X Yosemite, why wait until later this year? You can get it right now. This next story really, really surprised me, frightened me a little bit, I have to say. And it's all about a device we use so often every day, and that's, of course, our smartphone, our mobile phone, whatever you want to call it. Research from London University says that our mobile phones contain all kinds of bacteria. In fact, 82% of all mobile phones have some sort of bacterial contamination. London University concluded that your phone, your mobile phone, your smartphone that you carry with you every day, that you hold up to your face several times a day, that you touch with your hands, is up to 10 times dirtier than a toilet seat. Now, tech hygiene is not something that we often talk about here on Tech Guide. In fact, we've probably never spoken about it at all. It is good practice, though, to clean your screen, and not only to clean the fingerprints off your screen, but also to clean the bacteria. It is the Wall Street Journal was quoted Jeffrey Kane, the president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. He said, people are just as likely to get as sick from their phones as they are from the handles in the bathroom. So this is a device we're carrying around with us. We're touching it with our fingers. We're putting it on our face. Mr. Kane continued. He said, more people touch more devices than ever before, and this reality requires all of us to extend our personal hygiene practices to our mobile devices. So what do? Well, first of all, you can invest in a screen cleaner. A screen cleaner can not only clean all the smudges off your screen, you need to find a screen cleaner that's obviously non-toxic, that has a cleaning agent that will not only get rid of the fingerprints, but would also get rid of the bugs and the germs and the bacteria. Speaking of bacteria, an interesting report by CBC Canada says that everything from fecal matter, that's feces, if you don't know what fecal matter is, and E. coli can be found on some mobile device screens. Mashable, that popular tech site, posted a video and suggested that there are more than 25,000 bacteria present per square inch of a smartphone screen. Now compare that. Anyone who's got a pet, your pet's food dish has only got 2,000 bacteria per square inch. So compare that. It's 10 times dirtier than a pet's food dish. More bacteria. Even a retail self-checkout screen has 4,500 bacteria per square inch. So still, your smartphone is way out in front. Not a title you want for your device. So best advice for you would be clean that screen. I've put a photo of some cleaning solution. All of them come with a cleaning cloth as well, by the way. So not only do you get the cleaning solution, you can also use the included cloth and give your screen, your whole device, as a matter of fact, a good old clean. You want to check that story out, you can do it. It's at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And Netgear has just released the Nighthawk X6. That's the AC3200 tri-band Wi-Fi router. In fact, it's the world's first tri-band router. It's only available from Netgear. The Nighthawk X6 is available now in stores. The R8000 is the model number. Just think for a moment, though, the number of wireless devices you have in your home. Is it 5? Is it 10? Maybe even 20. If you're like me, it's even more. If you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates this problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, and updating at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R8000 X6. And get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
we are going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews with a watch, and not just any old watch. This is a smartwatch. Now, this is an area that is really blowing up in technology. Smartwatches, wearable devices, they are really going places. And LG have come to the party with the G Watch. This is one of the first devices, first wearable devices, first smartwatches to run the new Google operating system called Android Wear. So Google not only make Android for your smartphone, they also make a wearable operating system. So you think about it, it's going to work hand in glove with not just LG Android devices, but any Android device running Android 4.3 and above. So the LG G Watch has a 1.65-inch display that has a wireless Bluetooth connection with your smartphone. And as I said, even though it's an LG, works with any brand Android smartphone, as long as it's running that Android 4.3 operating system and above. So what it does, it relates all your notifications to your phone. It puts Google Now, the power of Google Now, on your wrist. So you're getting notifications, you're getting your emails, text messages, even call notifications. It'll give you the relevant information that you're interested in. So if you need directions, it'll tell you what time, what gate your flight's leaving from, when your flight is boarding. Information like that, it is served straight to the device. So without any effort from the user, you are getting all this information. So it'll remind you of a calendar update. It'll remind you about all these things, give you notifications. But what we liked about it, it's not just a one-way communication. Not only is the device telling you things, you can also ask the device things and tell the device things as well. Don't forget, it's running Google. So you can actually talk into your wrist if you need an answer to a question. You need rather than having to pull out your smartphone, type in the search in Google, you can just ask Google right on your wrist. You just start off with, OK, Google, and it'll bring up the search window, and you can ask it, who's the Prime Minister of India? And then in 3 seconds, it'll tell you. If there's a question or what's the time in New York right now, it'll give you that instantly as well. So you're also talking to the device. It's not just serving you up information. You can also go the other way and request information from the device. And if you do require more information, it's very easy to tap on your screen and then open that up on your device. So when you're the attached device, when you look at it, it'll have that information right there to look at. Now, the design wise, the device, a lot of people have taken shots at this product saying it looks boring, but I quite like it. I think it's I've said in my review, it's a bit of an elegant, understated elegance to it. It's very simple and clean lines. It looks pretty plain and simple, which I quite like. I think less is more in this case. It's quite small too. It's only 9.95 millimeters thick and not much bigger than a regular watch. So don't think that you're going to have this massive chunky device on your wrist. What I also like about it too is that it's got your standard 22mm watch strap on it. So if you're not happy with the plain black that comes or the white that comes with your device, you can easily personalize this. And in any jewelry store or watchmaker, you can then purchase the regular 22mm watch bands that will fit on the device. So you want to personalize it. It might be a woman might want to wear this and make it look a little bit more feminine. They can buy a band with a pattern on it. So it does look quite good if you do want to do that. So if you want to personalize it and make it your own, that is also possible. So this is a device that, you know, obviously you can use it every day. It's waterproof, so if you want to jump in the shower with it, you can not have any missed calls, or you can see all your emails coming in while you're in the shower. You can swim in it. I think it's up to about a depth of a meter. So it's the sort of device that it's right there on your wrist. So it's no effort to use it, no effort to see your notifications. And the Google voice recognition is really accurate. We were really impressed. Even in noisy shopping centers, it heard exactly what we were saying and gave us the answers we needed. Of course, it's also can count your steps. So it's like a pedometer. You know, whether you're walking or running or even driving, you can ask it for directions as well. So you can say, how do I get to Pitt Street Mall from here? And it'll give you turn-by-turn directions. So you got that right there on your wrist. Battery life ran for a couple of days. It comes with a little charging base. So it's very easy to pop that on there and also and get your charge. A charge normally runs for a couple of days, as I said, so we found that was pretty good as well. Now, in conclusion, I think the G-Watch is a good first iteration of an Android Wear device. I think there's plenty of features here to satisfy even fussy users. I think that the problem here, though, is that the most active people on smartphones and the people that this would benefit the most are young users, young men and women who don't wear smartwatches anymore. They don't wear watches full stop anymore. So whether it's going to attract them to wear a smartwatch, yet to be seen. I think there's a lot of people that are waiting for what Apple are going to do in this space. The big rumors about the iWatch coming out. Maybe a few people may be hanging back to see what they're up to. But if you're already entrenched in the Android family and you want to jump on board, the LG G-Watch is certainly no slouch. It's priced at $259, and you can read my entire review at techguide.com.au. Righto, for all you golfers out there, there is a terrific new product from Golf Buddy. It's the PT4. This is a GPS device that is your caddy in your pocket, or the caddy that hangs on your bag. Now, this is a fully fledged GPS device. It's got a 4-inch screen. It's got an LCD color touchscreen. I've described it in my review on Tech Guide as being about the size of a smartphone. It's about the size of an iPhone, actually, so a bit smaller than those larger screen devices. It's got a larger battery in it as well, so it will last a fair time. It's up to actually 10 hours on a single charge, so full weekend of golfing, yeah, you can enjoy. It comes preloaded with 37,000 golf courses, so if you take this with you on your holiday, you maybe have a golfing trip that you've planned on the other side of the world, it will be able to pick up exactly where you are. Now, it gives you a top-down view of the hole, gives you accurate distances to not only the front, back, and middle of the green. You can also touch any point on the hole. There may be a bunker, for example, or a water carry there that you don't want to. You want to try to lay up maybe a shot. So just pressing in front of that water hazard will tell you exactly that distance, and that way that'll allow you to choose the correct club for that layup. Handy if you're playing at a new golf course. This is, and even if you're playing at your local golf course, it's great to have these accurate distance measurements right there at your fingertips. Now, a lot of people, this is priced at $499.95. It's not cheap. A lot of people saying, well, look, you know, why can't I just use my smartphone? There's plenty of apps, free apps for that matter, for my smartphone. Well, doesn't quite have the feature set available right here. I think the GPS quality is really good on this device. It's excellent. Your smartphone, of course, has GPS on board as well. But if you are using your smartphone for 4 hours as a GPS device, you're not going to have any battery left when you're finished. That may be an issue for many people. But I think if you're a serious golfer, you need a serious GPS device. And the Golf Buddy PT4 is just that product. It comes with a clip, so you can clip it on your bag. And it's also water resistant too. So if it might be spinning with rain, there's no worry there. It also has a green view, dynamic green view, as a matter of fact. So you can adjust the pin placement to match that day's placement. If you're playing and you see the pin has been placed, the hole has been placed back in the right-hand corner, you can drag and press and drag that pin into that position or roughly where you think it is, and it will then adjust the distance to the hole. Personally, I'm happy if I just get on the green. If I land close to the hole, that is a bonus. But that's just me. There's plenty of serious golfers out there who love all these devices that can help them improve their game. And let's face it, golf's a game. I'm a golfer. Remember, at St. Michael's. Come and say g'day if you're out there playing a round of golf and you spot me on the course. I'm probably the one in the rough and in the bushes looking for my ball. But there are a lot of golfers. All golfers want to improve. This is a device that can help you do that, help with your course management, help you make the right club decisions, and hopefully slice those strokes off your game. Golf Buddy PT4. You can read my story at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, HTC have released yet another device, another smartphone, and it's the Desire, from the Desire family of products. Desire was a very popular part of the HTC lineup, and it is back, the HTC Desire 816. Now, this is a budget price device, not quite as cheap as the Kogan we spoke about earlier in the show. This is priced at $399 and has a 5.5-inch screen running Android KitKat. It's got a nice design, 13-megapixel camera, and it's made on the design side. It looks it reminds me of the iPhone 5C, kind of the plastic version to the metal version. So this to me is the iPhone 5C to the iPhone 5S. So in other words, this is the version, the cheaper version of the HTC One M8, which is kind of made of metal, and it's that premium design, premium quality device that's a lot more expensive than this. So the HTC Desire, I think, falls in that category. It's got a, even though it's made of plastic, it still has a nice sturdy feel. It's got a terrific large 5.5-inch screen, not high definition, but 720p, so it's still decent quality. So I think it's about 1200 by 720 is the resolution on the screen, but still decent quality. It doesn't obviously match up to the HTC One M8, the Galaxy S5, the iPhone, but for someone looking for an entry level device or an affordable device, I should say, the HTC Desire 816 certainly fits the bill. It's got expandable memory on the right side of the device. All the controls, the volume and the power and sleep keys are down on the left. It's got great front-facing speakers too. So during my reviews, I was actually listening to my music through the Spotify app, actually through the speakers of this phone. I wasn't pairing it to any Bluetooth speakers because I was pretty satisfied with the sound coming through those front speakers. Now, this is a decent-sized screen. We're in the phablet territory here, the phone tablet territory, for those who don't know what phablet means. So it's a decent-sized device. If you're looking for it, it's reasonably priced. I think it offers pretty good value. Now, a lot of people mistakenly think women don't like larger screen phones. I think many of them do. The fact that they do is that means that they don't have to carry this in a pocket. They've got the option of carrying a handbag, so it's very easy to put this in there. I already mentioned it's got KitKat. It's running. It's got a quad core 1.6 gigahertz processor, 8 gig of onboard memory, micro SD card slot as well, and you can expand that to an extra 128 gig. So the HTC Desire 816, priced at $399, and again, appeals to those people who don't want to go on a plan, who want to maybe a prepaid or a SIM-only plan. This is an affordable device and decent quality device at the same time. The Desire HTC Desire 816, priced at $399, and you can check out my full review at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Yeah. Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, one question I get asked fairly often is that people have their digital TVs, they want some decent reception, but they don't have an outside area. They don't have an aerial on their roof. So what do we do? Now, we knew back in the analog days, you used to put the bunny ears, as we called them, on top of the TV, and you'd adjust the aerial and hopefully get a good picture. Well, can you do that if you want to run a digital TV without a roof aerial? And the answer is yes. There are plenty of all-in-one amplified antennas that sit on top of your TV that can power your digital TV reception. They're priced at about $50 and up. I think if you want something decent, you'd need to be paying that amount of money. And they too come with, they have three parts to them. So it's got your traditional bunny ears, but there's also a central ring that kind of is the helps with the amplify the signal to the antenna as well. You can spend, as I said, from about $50 upwards on a digital antenna. Stores like Bing Lee and Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Dick Smith, I don't know if I mentioned them already, they supply these sorts of products. And you just think about it, if you're living in a unit or renting some place and there's no aerial on the roof, you may not be able to demand as easily to get an aerial on your roof. And this is one way you can get around that problem. If you've got a digital TV, you can get an amplified UHF, VHF digital antenna. So check them out. It is affordable solution. So rather than having to pay thousands of dollars to get a rooftop aerial, of course, that is the ideal solution. Don't think that this can replace that. But if you're in a pinch and you can't afford that or can't access the roof or can't do that, then there are products to help you out. The amplified antennas, yes, the bunny ears still work with digital TV. And that's the end of our show for this week. You can read about more about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. Want to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you need to stay connected in your home, extend your network, improve your network, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.